Okay, we're going to compare my accent with Mike's accent. Okay, so we're going to pick some random words. We're going to start with the word bag.
Bag.
It's a bag.
It's a bag.
Okay, we need another word.
Oh, let's see. Hot dish.
Hot dish? Is it casserole? Yeah, I guess we do say casserole.
Pop?
Pop, like soda?
Soda. Yep, I call it soda, but a lot of people here in Minnesota say pop. Drives me nuts, and I live here.
I think we just call it by its name, like Coke or Pepsi.
Yep, I've heard like Coke and Clear Coke and...
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be... Well, when I say Pepsi, I usually mean Pepsi or Coke.
Or if me and you were walking towards each other at a grocery store or something, right? And let's say I'm looking down at my phone and then you're like 2 inches away from my face and I move out of the way. We always say, oop.
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 O-P-E. I say, oh, so sorry. Get out of my way.
Yeah, right. And we're like, oop.
Here oop. In the southern states, we're like, get on. get on and get.
get.
Get on out of here now.
Yeah, yes. Yes. Yeah. No, here we're just like, oop.
I want to hear the word window.
Window.
Here they say winder.
Winder?
Winder.
Yeah, we say window.
Except, I'm a proper hillbilly.
Yeah, I'm a proper hillbilly. Here you go. Here's another one. Let's see. I want you to say this. You betcha.
You betcha. You yes, betcha?
You betcha.
You betcha. You better.
Right? The movie
yes.
Fargo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you know. That guy over there, he really... he's going fishing, and his line there is really strong, and his fishing pole is bending over, and you should probably reel that in there.
Oh, seriously, I love
no
it.
No joke. It is a thing here.
We have sayings, you know, yes. Like wasper. They say wasper.
What's instead that? Of
it's a wasp.
What?
A wasp. They call it a wasper.
Many swear words that we call wasps.
But I do, I mean, I'm not making fun of the people here because I love the people here. And I don't have a problem with my accent. Some people do make fun of it.
I love Tennessee. I've been there. I love it.
Oh, yeah. We won't discuss our football.
No.
So well, we can't discuss that on the air. It would be nauseating. So. I'd feel sick to my stomach.
Come live in Minnesota, then you tell me that. Our football team is just, oh, God. We won't talk about football.
Oh, my chickens do a better football game than
the Vikings, yes. Yeah. You're so right. You are so right. Vikings get chickens to play for us. My God.
Yeah, you give them, throw a rat or something, you know, tasty out in the field.
Yes.
Those heifers are going to run that 40.
Oh, yeah. Get a couple of ruse, too, and then they can block. And they
can
block.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be fabulous.
Oh,
instead
my gosh.
Of, like... You know, like they have the puppy, what's the puppy bowl? You know, where they have the puppies and the cats and stuff? You ever
yes.
watch
oh,
that on TV,
yes.
the puppy bowl?
Yes. I
they should
it.
Do that with chickens.
Oh,
they
my
should
God.
Have a puppy
yes.
bowl of chickens.
Oh, my God.
I just came up with this great idea. So
yes, this needs to get published. This needs
yes,
to be a
does.
Thing. It needs
yes.
to be a thing.
Yes, it does. Oh, yeah, we have the heifers all out there running around.
Oh, my God. I love it. I'd pay money to see that.
Y'all are in for a fun-filled episode. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did, and we laughed ourselves silly. And at the end, I do have a product review of one of the newest products that we are so in love with.
I just can't stress that enough, that it's the best, I hate to say investment, but in a way it is kind of an investment, but it's the best investment for your mental health. Best investment for you as just as a person.
Hey y'all, I'm Mel, and you are listening to Wilma the Wonder Hen. Are you a chicken mouth loving mama or daddy? Together we'll dive into the latest poultry keeping adventures, chat about everyday life, with a generous mix of some hilarious stories. Bringing you fascinating interviews with poultry owners from all over. You'll find tips and basic advice from your local veterinarian, along with new chicken keeping gadgets and reviews. I'm going to see what Mr. Jangles and Wilma has to say about that. We're going to encourage and help you build a stronger, healthier flock. Let's go see what Mr. Jangles and Wilma is up to. Let's go let these heifers out.
Yeah, it's funny because I used to be on radio too. I was a DJ back in my
young
days.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. How cool. I have another friend of mine. She is, well, not, she's not currently, but she was actually a DJ for the one of the local radio stations here. Oh. And she absolutely loved it. But it was nothing I ever thought it was going to be when she explained it, because she, maybe this was because of the setup. Maybe it was a smaller station or something, but she legit had to do like all the work. Not just, you know, do her bit on the air. She had to do like all the editing and all the setup and stuff. And it's not as glamorous as they make it look on TV. So
no, it's really not. It is a lot of work. And I would do the morning shift from like 4 a.m. to 6:30. And it was just like, oh my gosh, if I make a mistake, luckily no one will hear it.
Yes.
Few times I had dead air and I'm like, oh my God, what am I doing? You start freaking out. And
that's hilarious. Oh my yeah.
gosh, it's just crazy.
Okay, well, I'm going to introduce you and we can continue on our conversation, okay?
Sounds perfect.
Hello, my beautiful listeners. Today's guest is a first for us. That's right, a.k.a. Chicken King Mike. He is a Air Force veteran. He enjoys the outdoors, being a chicken dad, and living life to the fullest. Can you please help me welcome Mike, a.k.a. Chicken King, to Wilma the Wonder Hen podcast. Hey, Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, and yourself?
Oh, we are doing great over here. It is pouring, or a phrase we use, pouring cats and dogs. How's it out there?
You know, you're lucky you're getting rain because we were getting snow this morning.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, it was
y'all crazy. Can keep the snow.
You know what? No, we can give it to Canada. We don't want it.
Nobody here wants it. But anyways, we are so honored to have you with us today. We thank you for your service, and we appreciate all that you do. And I am quite intrigued by your story, because most of the people, well, all of our prior guests have been women. And not to say that their husbands aren't involved. Usually they're in the back, kind of doing the building and things like that. But don't come at me, because we do have some women that do their building themselves. So can you give our listeners a little Chicken King 101 backstory?
Well, sure. So as far as owning chickens, I never thought that I would be a chicken owner. Living in a suburb of Minneapolis in St. Paul, it's just not a real common thing to hear a suburbanite have chickens in their backyard. And so last year during the pandemic, it was about maybe January, February, I thought to myself, I'm like, well, I'm going to get into a new trait. I want to try something new, something different that I've never done before. And so I was researching chickens, because a lot of people were getting chickens at the time. It was on the news here that this was something that was kind of growing in suburbanite, you know, USA. And so I did a lot of research with chickens and learning about different breeds, because honestly, I had zero knowledge of chickens. I thought chickens were just chickens. I didn't think there was all these different breeds out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, living in the north part of the United States, you know, we have such crazy weather where, you know, one day in the summer, it'll be 102 degrees. And then in the winter, like this year, it was like minus 45, minus 50. And so there was a lot of things that I thought about. I'm like, you know, is it worth owning chickens? I mean, what's the upkeep? What do I have to do? And I legit spent a good 2.5-3 months every single day after I came home from work, would hop onto the computer and I would research every detail about owning chickens, which sounds like way too much work. But, you know, during the pandemic, even my girlfriend said, she goes, my God, you are spending way too much time researching this. It's like, well, you know, I want to make sure I do this right. You know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go 150% towards this. And, so I ultimately decided that I want to get some winter hardy birds, you know, just because we get like 10 months of winter here in the state of Minnesota, you know. And so I wanted to get something, a bird that would actually handle that, you know, those cold winters and that can handle our warm summers. And so I looked at Orpingtons, because a lot of people have said they're great, you know, first time chicken owner birds. They're pretty calm demeanor. They're not too noisy. They're great in winter, and honestly, the biggest aspect of this whole chicken owning thing is I wanted to have a chicken that would sit in my lap.
Aww.
No joke. No joke. No joke. It's I wanted a chicken to be my lap chicken.
Oh, I love it.
And so I'm like, I need to get Orpingtons because I saw so many YouTube videos of people saying that their chickens are lap chickens and they're buff Orpingtons. I'm like,
yeah.
And that's the funny part of, again, not knowing anything about chickens. I didn't realize that buff was the actual color. I thought,
yeah.
I thought their breed name was called buff Orpingtons. And I'm like, okay, so I want buff Orpingtons. Yeah. I go, you know, I went to the store and I was asking, do you guys have buff Orpingtons? And they're like, well, we have Orpingtons. I'm like, well, how many Orpingtons are there? I mean, they're like, well, you know, you can get lavender, there's buff. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the difference? You know, I was completely like oblivious to anything but chickens. And, but, you know, I ended up getting three actually, it's been about a year now. I think it was like the end of April is when I got my three hens. And so, you know, I had them for a good month and I said, I need more chickens because chicken math, right?
Yeah.
And
I know all about chicken math.
Oh my God. Oh, watching your videos, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't know chicken math, but I'm slowly learning about it. But you know, ultimately I just wanted to make sure that my birds were going to, you know, be safe in my neighborhood. We don't live in like the super duper country. We're like on the border of country versus city. And so we don't have a ton of predators running around here too. So, I mean, I looked at everything, like just, you know, the coop size, you know, what do I need to have for feed? I mean, it was crazy. I was driving myself nuts thinking about all this stuff. But, you know, in the end, I did get one more, and that was my Brahma. And I can tell you that I still remember the day I had called the store that I bought my Orpingtons with. And I was like, hey, so what breed is really good with Orpingtons and that will get along with them, but are winter hardy? And they're like, well, you know, Brahmas are a really good bird. I think they are the biggest breed, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're the biggest breed of chicken.
Yeah, there's Jersey Giants and then there's the Brahma.
Correct. That's right. Jersey Giants too. I've heard of them. But you know, and I just wanted a bigger size bird. You know, I saw a couple of YouTube videos of a Brahma. It was a rooster Brahma, and the thing was so massive. It looked like a size of a turkey. And
coming
I'm like,
out of the coop.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, I need that in my life.
That's not actually realistic, though.
No, I figured not. I figured it was like some crazy, scientific project that somebody did.
Yeah.
And that Brahma turns into the Hulk or something. Yeah. You know?
But, yeah. Rips out his little t-shirt.
Yeah. Right. Oh my God. I could just see that. Just, whoa. And they don't, Brahma smash. But, oh, it's crazy. I love it. But, you know, I'm happy with the four birds that I have. And I've had a lot of friends since I joined TikTok too, that, I just can't believe the community out there for chicken owners, especially backyard chicken owners. And I mean, what you guys done, it's just amazing that I've learned so much from like watching your TikToks and other people's TikToks. It kind of motivates me to do more and spread the word of, you know, owning backyard chickens. I mean, it's crazy.
That's fabulous, though, that you did all that research. To me, that's music to my ears because I was the opposite. Like, I knew nothing about chickens. I didn't even grow up on a farm. So I just took in some rescue hens, and I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with these things. But that's a good tip to give other listeners to make sure, you know, do your due diligence and figure out, you know, their needs prior. And you did just that. So you do live in a city, though, so you're limited on how many chickens that you can own?
Yeah. Here, I live in Forest Lake, which is a suburb of Minneapolis and St. Paul. And we're only allowed 5 chickens, which no roosters, just hens. And that was kind of hard because, again, I want to get more because, I mean, not just the egg factor, but just for the fact that the coop that I have now.
Yeah.
I mean, it can fit a few more chickens, and especially with winters, I want them to stay like uber duper warm. And but so I do plan on getting 2 more next year.
a lot of our guests have come on and they do live in the city and they are limited to a small amount. So do you think there are things that can be done to help those individuals in that situation that may want more and because they are limited? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, honestly, I think that anyone in the city, as long as you don't have a tiny little backyard, so you actually have room for your chickens. I mean, I think they need to do it a city by city basis as far as looking at the demographics of people that actually are backyard chicken owners. Hear me out on this. So I have a coworker that just asked me the other day about, you know, getting chickens and he's interested in them. And, you know, I was giving him the whole spiel of, you know, make sure you get your paperwork done through the city, make sure you know how many you can have, make sure you have proper housing for them, et cetera, et cetera. But in the city of St. Paul, they're allowed to have up to 16 chickens. And that's in the city. Like, legitimate capital of Minnesota. Yes.
What makes it different?
I don't know. That's, you know, that's what blows my mind. I live out in a suburb, you know, of Minneapolis and St. Paul, and there's just, I mean, we have a lot more room than someone that lives in the city of St. Paul. And I don't know what the, you know, how they come up with these regulations. And
maybe that was an old ordinance.
It might be, to be honest with you. You know, and the thing is, I've thought of going to the city council, and honestly, I think I still will. I just have to get more evidence collected, more facts collected, and present it to the city hall to say, here's the deal. St. Paul can own up to 16 chickens. Here I am, a backyard chicken owner in my city. We're a suburb. We have more room. I've never received any complaints from any of my neighbors because they love getting free eggs, for one. But two, I've had so many people say, oh my God, I love driving by your house because I can see your chickens in the backyard. And it makes people smile. It brightens their day almost. So it's like, I want to bring this evidence to the city hall. And I mean, at least let us have 10 chickens. I don't think 10 is going to be overdoing it. You know, I think another thing, though, that people think of, at least here in the country, is that so many people are going to get so many chickens that they don't take care of them, which then smells start coming
right
along. You know,
I understand that.
So I totally do, too. But that's why there's, you know, if they want to regulate, you know, 4 chickens or 5 chickens versus 10, well, 4 chickens, they'll cause a mess, but as long as you clean it every day, I've had no issues with smell. Even if I haven't cleaned it, if I skipped a day, there's no smell to it. And, you know, I would love to see the city and actually the state kind of come together and be like, you know, we need to start growing our own food. There's nothing wrong with people owning chickens, growing our own food. And I mean, we're not butchering them. At least I'm not butchering my chickens. But I think that's the other thing, too, is that they don't want people just all of a sudden magically slaughtering their chickens for, you know, whatever reason, you know, because they're not a farm, which we could go into as far as, you know, they can tax you if you're a farmer. So, you know, it's always a money thing with the city.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's always one thing or the other. But I mean, just to be a backyard chicken owner, I mean, I think 10 would be a perfect number, at least in my city. But, you know, it's one of those things I'll bring up to the city council at some point. But I think everyone should own chickens, to be honest with you. I really do.
Going back to when you first got your flock, what did you think about your coop? Did you plan that ahead and design that yourself?
You know, it's funny that you say that because I was going to mention that when I was looking at coops, again, being completely oblivious to anything that goes along with chickens, you know, I researched, you know, just different small little coops that I could buy at my local Farm and Fleet store. And I found one that was about like, you know, $300. And at the time I'm going, really, $300 for a coop?
Yeah.
And thinking, my God, that's so expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, we can laugh about that because we just know.
We know. We know.
You know, but it was a good coop. It wasn't built the greatest as far as like the material that they use, because obviously, you know, it's not the best wood or anything. But that little coop, I'll tell you, in the storms that we had last spring, it worked phenomenally. The other part of it is I can't just have a open standing coop in my backyard, just because we do have people walking through our backyard. We have, you know, loose animals like cats mm-hmm. and stuff running around. And so what I did is when I bought this coop, I also bought a dog fence paneling, a 6x12. It was had two long sides and, you know, the two short sides with the door so I could enter and exit through that door. And then I covered it with hardware cloth. And so I used that for a good probably about 3 months. And at that time, I'm going, I need a bigger coop. I want a coop that's going to be more durable, that can withstand, you know, the winds and the storms up here. You know, it's something that will just be better for my chickens. And so then I don't have to worry about them 24/7, even though that really hasn't changed much. But
yeah.
So I actually built the coop that you guys see in my TikToks. You know, that I built with my dad and with his friend last October. And I wanted a same size coop. I wanted a 6x12, but have a roof on it. And so when my dad's friend came to me, he goes, well, why don't we do a slanted roof? We'll make it 10 feet tall at the highest point, 8 feet tall at the lowest point. And I was like, God, that's a great idea. Because that way all the snow that we get, you know, it'll just slide right out. And, you know, it was smart to do that. You know, and there's a few other things I wanted to do and get because, you know, I'm 42. My knees, my back are not 20 years old as they once were back then. You know, I get the aches and pains and with the
we all feel this.
Oh my gosh. It's just, you know, don't think the day is going to come and all of a sudden it comes. You're like, oh, and that's
I'm on
my back. Yep, exactly. I'm done. Oh, but tell me all about it. Oh my gosh. But, you know, it's funny because, the new coop that I have, you know, I built the door with a frame and everything. And so I could actually walk in there without bending over. Same thing with the inside of the coop, the girls' roost. It's so I don't have to bend over. I can stand up, open up the door, and I can clean and do everything without bending over and wrecking my knees and my back anymore. So, I mean, the coop that you guys see is kind of like my dream coop.
It's a really nice one for those who don't know.
It's like a castle for my chickens, and I've gotten so much grief from people who are like, my God, your chickens live better than you do. And I'm like, well, yeah, that they deserve it. You know, they're feeding me for free.
Yeah. So, well, free. Yeah.
I'll do this in quotations because you can't see me. Quote unquote free.
Yeah. I always laugh about the free eggs thing.
Exactly.
I'm like, this is not free.
It's not free. You know, food, building your stuff. About $3,000 worth of eggs. So they better be gold. Then they're not gold. You know, where's my golden
That's
eggs?
Hilarious. I love it. Yeah, where are they? I don't have any here either. Butterball just drops hers in the yard. So,
oh my God. You know, that sounds, I swear to God, my chickens watch your TikTok because they're learning from you. I swear to God. There's days I'm going, okay, why are you laying outside of the nesting area? It's like, there's two nesting boxes. You know what they are. But I don't know. I just have to laugh and shake my head.
Yeah. Some of them are just that way. I have so many nesting boxes. I have a lot. I have, you know, close to 70 chickens, but we have nesting boxes for, they're not going to use all the nesting boxes anyway. So they're going to fight over the ones that they want. And that's probably the situation, is that somebody is in their favorite nesting box and they can't hold it anymore. So they just drop it wherever they please. So.
You know, you're so right on that, because I've noticed too with my chickens, they'll always use the same nesting box, and it seems like they have to lay eggs exactly at the same time. And it's like there's one day I walked in and I had Hallie was inside the nesting box, you know, and she takes pretty much the entire room of that nesting box.
A big girl.
Oh, she's my big girl. She's my big girl. And then I had Angel, which is the smallest of my Orpingtons, try and squeeze in there. She got in there somehow. And then of course Henrietta.
It's a party.
Oh my God. She went in there. I had three chickens in that nesting box. And I'm just like, you're joking, right?
Yeah.
And of course then they turn and they look at me like, well, I want to lay an egg, but they're in here. But I want to lay an egg. It's my turn. It's like, oh my gosh, girls. Just stop. Just stop.
That's what I always tell people when they ask. They always ask, because that's one of the good questions to ask, well, how many nesting boxes do you need? And they say, do I need one per chicken? are parlaying him. And I'm like, no, because they're not going to use, they're going to pick their favorites and they're going to stick with those.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, from what I heard, at least what I researched, you know, I've heard 2 to 3 nesting boxes or one nesting box for 2 to 3.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And that still doesn't work. It's like 1 for 4. It pretty much is way that's how that works.
You need to build one big enough. I have an extra nesting box that's in the run just for the younger Shire girls because they tend to stay away from the top hens and it's hard for them to find a place to lay. So I have a large crate, a dog crate with lots of pine shavings in it. And that is usually where the more timid girls will go and lay their eggs. But sometimes if I go in there and check, there's like 4 or 5 of them inside of the little kennel. And they're all laying their eggs at the same time together.
And to be honest with you, I might just build a small one. You know, you've seen inside of my
coop. Yeah.
I mean, I got a lot of room on, if you're looking at it from the front, from the left-hand side, there's all that open space. I might just actually go buy, you know, like a little plastic, I don't know what you guys call them, but it's just like a, it's like a little storage unit, but it's really small type thing, and just put some, you know, some shavings
like
in there.
Like a tote or something like that. Yeah, honestly, the dog kennel works pretty good. It's solid, and like I said, it gives easy access to the more timid ones, but they love to go in there. It's private. I would like for you to share with us what has changed in your life since getting your flock.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you, I have become a proud chicken dad. You know, you get so proud when they grow up that you see them from day one, you know, little chicks to grown adult hens. But, you know, it's taught me a lot about myself. As far as, you know, being a responsible chicken dad. You know, having my, you know, learning more about the whole process of owning chickens, you know, having them lay eggs, you get eggs out of the deal. I mean, it's great to have that food source. But at the same time for me, and I've told you this before, that, you know, with, you know, I suffer from anxiety and depression. It's just one of those things that I've always had. You know, if I'm stressed out at work, I'll come home and I'll hang out with my girls for a good 20, 30 minutes right as I get home. I mean, there's days I don't even change out of my scrubs because I work at a hospital. So I'll go in there and I'll just relax with them, sit in a lawn chair, and they'll come sit on my lap. And, you know, they kind of calm me down. So it's something that they've helped me that they'll probably never, ever know.
But
they, you know, they calm me down. They make me laugh. You know, they make my day better. And it's just one of those things where it's like, as a chicken owner, you would never expect that a chicken can make you just laugh. Like, they're comedians.
They are.
And it's like having a dog or a cat. I mean, it's, you know, they're kind of like your partner in crime to a point. And especially with my hens, more so they're, yeah. Oh God, I mean, they don't want to stay in the coop. They want to run around free. And it's just like, oh my God. So that's the other thing but they make me laugh. That's the biggest thing is they bring me joy in my life.
I think that's amazing. I think that is for a lot of people, especially a lot of the guests that we've had on, like yourself and myself. You know, I have anxiety and depression. At times it's more severe than others. That's something about me most people probably don't know. I use comedy and humor to fight some of those voices. But yeah, you would have never thought, I would have never thought that those feathered freaks that I like to call those heifers out there can make you feel so calm. It actually it lowers your heart rate, and it lowers your breathing, and it brings a lot of joy. And we see that in a lot of your videos because your girls are super cute. But when you see them and you together, you can just tell there is a bond there. And I know that they love you too. So
it's funny because every time I come home from work, I'll pull right in the driveway. First thing that they do, they come running to the side of the coop. And they,
daddy's home,
daddy, exactly. Daddy's home. I get to have treats now. And that's the exact first thing that they do. And it's like, yep, I know what you want from me. You don't want me. You just want to use me for my treats. I get it. Fine. But they make me laugh. You know, like I said, they just, I just shake my head. There's days I come home from work, but I always say hi to the girls when I come home. I'm like, hey, ladies, how was your day? And of course, they're squawking away like, it's fine. Now give us treats or let us out because we want to, like, you know, go crazy in the neighborhood. So it just, it,
they want to rule the neighborhood.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, I mean, they've wandered off in a few different neighbors' yards and it's like, oh my God, I'm going to get a call one day. Hey, your chicken's at my front door. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry.
That's hilarious. What does your neighbors think? I know you said that, no one has complained, right? They're okay with that.
Oh, no one's complaining. They love it. They love to come over and see the chickens in a coop. It seems like it's kind of a relief for the neighborhood, too. Like, they love just watching the chickens. And, I mean, like I said, I've had kids come by walking through our neighborhood, and they're like, oh, look, it's chickens. They're so cute. And, it's, of course, I love talking about chickens. So I'm like, yeah, that's Henrietta and that's Angel. And so I try to educate people, too, while they walk by and see my coop. You know, it's like, oh yeah, if they want to talk about it, I'm more than happy to sit and talk about my chickens, which is crazy. But I love to educate people about chickens, and especially my chickens. A lot of people have asked, oh, what breed do you have? And so I love to educate the, you know, kids and adults each. I mean, I think it's just a great thing. It's a win-win situation for everybody.
I think it's so fascinating that people look at chickens at maybe like a novelty kind of thing. I think when they look at chickens, maybe they've only ever seen chickens in the grocery store and they've not actually seen chickens in their natural environment, like in a backyard.
Oh, agreed. You know, that's the one thing is when you think of chickens, you think of chicken breasts on a grill.
Right. That's what
exactly. You don't think of chickens as a pet, you know? And that's the one thing is that, and it's something that I've learned too, is, when I first got my hens, I'm like, oh, cool. I'm going to grow my own food and, you know, we can get chicken breasts off these girls and, you know, but you quickly find out that you get I think we talked about before, you get attached to them, they get attached to you. And it's like, no, you're too cute. I can't do that to you. You know, the crock pot will have to wait for another day.
I throw in butterball with a crock pot every single day.
I love it.
I actually got in trouble on TikTok for that.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they took my video down. Several of my videos where I made humorous, lighthearted content about putting butterball in the crock pot. I'm not a vegan. I'm not embarrassed to say that. I do eat chicken. And if you don't eat chicken, that's fine. That's, you know, your prerogative. And we do have a lot of people that raise chickens for their food, for their family, as sustainability. And we're never going to shame those people. So, but our choice, you know, the ones that I have in my backyard are my pets. And so I do kid around with Cream and Butterball and her big juicy butt into the crock pot. So somebody must have reported me because they thought that wasn't funny. Even though it is funny, if they knew me, they knew that, you know, they would know that Butterball is just one of my trouble kids. But anyways, moving right along.
No, you know, you're right, though. It's kind of sad because TikTok is like you get people shaking their booties and everything else. It's like, I'm sorry, I would rather learn about chickens and see chickens or cats or dogs. It's like, you know, but yet these people aren't getting reported for twerking on camera. It's like, what?
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, you're going to come after my little account? Come on.
I know. It's pathetic.
It's silly. I would love to hear your tips for either raising baby chicks, because I know you got yours as baby chicks, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you can either elaborate on baby chicks or keeping a healthy flock. Any of those things that you would like to share with our listeners?
Well, the biggest thing is if you're going to get them as babies, which a lot of people that own backyard chickens, they usually get them at, you know, day one or maybe at 1 week. The biggest thing is making sure you have your brooder, a brooder or some sort of place where you can place your chicks so they can get adequate heat, food and water. The one thing that I learned about having a brooder is that water gets changed about 50 times a day. Because you will legitimately put fresh thing of water in there and you turn your back. 20 seconds later, you look back and the whole thing is just covered with shavings. And it's like, you're joking, right?
Yes, can I get an amen on that? That is so true.
Oh, my God. So that's, and the one thing, at least what I learned from when I bought the chicks from the store is that they said, make sure that they consistently have clean water. You don't want them drinking.
Right. You don't.
Water with, you know.
Yes. With poops. Yeah.
Poop and everything else in there. Correct. So, you know, that was the big thing is, you know, changing water all the time, which is fine. I don't mind. It got annoying after a while, but it's like, you know what? You're worth it. But, you know, making sure that you have the adequate food. You don't start chicks with calcium. You don't want, obviously, until I think, what, week 17, I think it is? 16 or 17 or 18?
Around point of lay, which is between 16 and 20 weeks.
Correct. And so that's the big thing is making sure you get the right food. You know, make sure the brooder is clean. You clean that sucker every day from any poop or anything else. Same thing with water. You want to make sure that's nice and dry and clean. And then you want to have adequate heat. So the one thing that kind of worried me a little bit was owning a heat lamp, just because I know that can cause a fire.
Yeah.
And that was something I was really worried about because I'd be at, you know, at work or something, but, you know, we would have to turn the heat lamp off because there wouldn't be anybody at home. But luckily, you know, it was warm enough in the house and in the room that I had them. I actually had them in my bedroom. Don't tell the city that because we're not supposed to have them in there.
We don't rat people out on this show.
Exactly. All right. Shh, nobody heard that. But, you know, you know, just making sure that they're in a safe area as well. You know, if you have pets and stuff like that.
That's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up. Okay, go ahead. I'm so sorry. You go on.
All right. You know, but if you have a dog or a cat or any other type of pet, you want to make sure that they're away from them in a safe, secure area. Luckily, our cat that we have is... He's such a lazy loaf, man. Let me tell you, he'd go up to the chicks and check them out, and he'd be really curious about it. But he'd be like, "Meh." And by like the third week, he was laying down right next to their brooder.
Aww. And, you know,
it was so cute. It was like, "Oh, they're gonna be best friends." And actually, to this day, when we have the cat outside and I let the chickens roam, they'll go right up to each other and just hang out. It's the coolest thing. I need to do a TikTok with that.
Yeah,
it is the cutest thing. I guess the other thing to really understand is that, as your chickens grow, you know, you're not going to have them inside the house or the garage or wherever you have them. You know, they're going to be outside when they get feathers, which is usually about week 6 or 7. And so having an adequate coop, you know, I've seen so many people have different types of coops. They've had, little shelters as coops. I mean, people get really creative with what they do, which is great, but you just want to make sure it's going to suffice for the chickens and for yourself as well. I mean, you don't want to spend like 10 grand on a coop if you're going to have 4 chickens and all of a sudden you're like, well, I don't know if I really like this, you know. It's so you got to plan ahead. That's the biggest thing, is just planning ahead.
Yeah, that's like that's another good tip. Yeah,
you know, start small, you know. That's, and I can tell you, because unfortunately I you know, hear too many stories of chickens getting abandoned. And it's like, no, chickens are pets. They're not just a food source. They're not just a throwaway toy. They are your pets. That's family.
Yeah, so that does happen a lot, especially Easter time. People get a lot of baby chicks. I know when I first started out, that's kind of, we didn't even start with chicks. I just started with some old laying hens that a friend of mine was thinning her flock down. And then we took in some rescue hens and then some other hens that people didn't want, you know, because they weren't laying anymore. And then, yeah, so there are a lot of abandoned. So find someone who is willing to take them, you know?
Exactly. It's a responsibility. It's not just a throwaway toy, like I said. So, I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, maybe rule number one is if you want chickens, research, research, research. Don't just bite at the chomp and buy 10 chickens right away or little chicks and be like, okay, now what do we do? You have to plan for all this stuff. And people just don't realize that. You
yeah.
can't, and you can't throw like 10 chickens in a small little coop. They have to have, right. You know, a decent amount of space.
That is also a very good tip. Yes. Make sure that you have adequate space for the amount of chickens that you're bringing home, because those tiny little chicks are going to grow into larger size, unless they're bantams, into, you know, something that will need a fair amount of space.
Exactly.
Pecking and plucking is a real thing.
You know, that's a great point that you just brought up. And that was something I wasn't familiar with, was the pecking order. And so when I brought Hallie over to my flock, because they're about a month apart in age, you know, I would bring the brooder out to the coop and I would leave her in there so the other chickens could get used to her. Well, one day I opened up the lid of the brooder and she flew out and started running all around the coop inside. And all three of my ladies were chasing after her, pecking at her. And I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? I've opened up Pandora's box, you know? And
the pecking order is brutal.
It is. And the thing is, and it lasted, a few weeks, which I guess, I don't know in chicken time, what is a adequate amount of time for a chicken to get used to another chicken. But I would assume it's just like a cat or a dog. You bring something else, into the family, it's going to take a while for them to get used to.
Yeah, especially in the chicken world, because the pecking order is for safety. The chicken flock of who's going to be in charge, who they're going to look to for safety, for warning signs, warning calls, where the food is. So it's a very delicate thing. So when you bring and just toss another chicken in, you're completely whacking that up. And that is not a good thing. So we always like to separate, but see, like you can see each other through the wire, but keep those new chickens separate. But this is if they are coming, they're already in your flock. Now, if you're bringing new chickens in, please quarantine and away from your existing flock. But that's for a whole nother episode. But
definitely. And that's, I'm glad that you brought that up. I was listening to your one of your other episodes about quarantine chickens before bringing them into a new flock. And just in case for disease, if that's, but you're right. That's a whole other story that we can talk about.
Bringing chickens together that are already existing on your property. But I would like to hear where you see your flock evolving. What do you want for the future for your flock? What would you like to see happening?
Well, I plan on getting two more chickens next year. I want to get a Salmon Fav just because they're so adorable. I've always wanted a Salmon Fav. Oh, and they're just gentle and they're winter hardy. Then I actually have a friend who has TikTok too, ironically, and she's a chicken owner. She wants to give me one of her Americanas.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, ooh, that'd be a new experience. Something other than a buff color. I need a little color change in my flock. So I'm going to get, of course, I tell you I want a Salmon Fav, and they're still kind of a buffish color, but I figured just get two more and that'll be good. And then of course, watch it. Six is going to turn into 10, and now I'll have the city on me for having way too many chickens. So my goal, though, is to hopefully get
the your sense of rubble.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's right. Don't mess with Chicken King. There's a reason why they call me Chicken King.
We don't discuss what the Chicken King does. It's the rules.
Rule one about talking about chickens with Chicken King. We don't talk about chickens with Chicken King.
That's right.
That's right.
I would like to know your opinion on what do you feel that chicken community is lacking? What do you think each of us could do to make it a better place?
Well, I think that just educating yourself about chickens and backyard chicken owning. Obviously, backyard chicken owning versus someone who lives on a farm and has hundreds of chickens. I mean, it's two completely different worlds. And I think that just educating those people who are interested in having a chicken in their backyard or a flock in their backyard, kind of like what I did is I educated myself, what are the pros, what are the cons? But when I look at it from owning chickens for a year now, is that I've educated other people about it. Like case in point, even my family, my mom's like, well, how can chickens lay eggs if there's not a rooster around? I said,
yes.
Mom, let me tell you this, Mom. You don't need to have a rooster to have eggs. They produce eggs at a certain point in their age every day. The only time you would ever have a rooster is if you want to have more little baby chickens. And so her mind was blown on that. And so it was great to educate her about it because, she told her friends about it. And it's like it's one of those things. You tell two people, those two people will tell four people, et cetera, et cetera. I can't stress education enough on owning chickens. I mean, it's something that anyone and everyone could do. As long as you're responsible about it, you educate yourself. What are the pros? What are the cons? I mean, it's almost one of those things where it's, you want to take a chicken owning 101 class. And I think that's what's really lacking in the community.
Yeah, there's a lot of those too.
You know, exactly. You know, and the city hall, they have no idea what it's like owning chickens. I highly doubt any of them own chickens. You know, they probably live in a maybe more uppity, you know, neighborhood where, you know, they're like, oh, we don't want chickens because they stink and blah, blah, blah. But in reality, it's complete opposite.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. That's very true. What is one common myth about chicken keeping that you'd like to debunk?
Oh, where do I want to start with this one? I think one of the big things of owning chickens that is a huge misconception, that they do what they want when they want. It's they're not just animals that are just going to sit around and do absolutely nothing. Sometimes, yes, but they love to roam around and have space. And that's something that I learned. And even now I'm continuing to learn that chickens need space. They need room to roam. They need, you know, adequate space to sleep. I mean, it's everything is about spacing and size. And honestly, I always thought you could just throw 10 chickens in like the first coop that I owned. And that's something that me as a newbie chicken owner, I would have never have thought of. And so, again, researching and there are laws and statutes, at least in this state, where you have to have so much square feet per chicken. And that blew my mind. I never would have thought that, to be honest with you. I just figured, yeah. I see chickens all the time. You know, people have them free roaming in their backyard. I'm like, aren't they supposed to be caged up and kept away? But yeah, I mean,
when chickens are not allowed to have space in a confined area like that, that's when a lot of bullying starts and can be very serious, deadly pecking and diseases because they don't have the air circulation to move through the run and the coop. But yeah, that's a very good point. So carry on, sir.
You know, but just knowing that, like we've been talking about with space, is that it's even with a coop. When I built my new coop, I built it so I could get more chickens later in life too. And all my chickens are going to be with me until they die. That's, you know, until the good Lord says it's your time.
Yeah.
They're going to just strictly be like my chicken pets. But the whole space issue is so, so important. And I'm glad that, you know, that you kind of elaborated on that because you're right. There's diseases. You know, there's a lot of bullying. I never thought that those little chickens could be huge bullies. Like, I'm like, whoa.
They are. They're awful.
I was just like taken aback, and I was almost scared because, like, I'm like, they're going to kill Hallie. Hallie's going to be a dead chicken tomorrow morning. But, you know, they had enough space where they could all do their own thing. And
yeah, if they don't have that type of space, though. Exactly. So, yeah, that's a very good point. I'm very glad that you brought that up. Is there anything else you'd like for me to ask you that I did not ask you?
Ooh. You know, I guess the other thing is I guess to elaborate on like backyard chicken owning versus, you know, living on a farm or anything like that, or a bigger type of land that, you know, they do such, I love my chickens because they do more than just lay eggs. One thing that they do, which a lot of people don't think of is their poop can be turned into compost, which can then help grow your garden, or because God forbid they don't destroy grass at all. Mm. Yeah. So I've already gotten the 10th degree on that one about why is the grass all torn up? I don't know.
I have no idea.
No clue what's going on with that. But, you know, I'm going to use their compost from their coop, and I'm going to put it in my garden. So it's kind of like everything is a full circle with chickens. They don't just lay eggs. They're not just great pets, but, you know, they can help the environment. Ultimately, they can help your garden as long as you do it correctly. You know, you don't want to have that poop just sitting out on your right. corner of your yard or anything. But, you know, it's a full circle with them. And that's something, I guess, that kind of is another thing that blew my mind is that you can use chickens for gardening purposes as well.
Yes, and mental health purposes. They are fabulous companions. They are actually therapy chickens. So there's a whole bunch of articles and websites and stuff about that. So if you can elaborate a little bit, since it kind of, I think it cut off, but your chicknic tables are little mini picnic tables for your chickens, right?
That is correct.
And they are so cute. So
I guess the one thing with the chicknic tables, how people have asked me, well, how did you ever come up with this idea? And ironically, I found it on Facebook as a meme. And it was chickens with this little table. And I'm going, oh my God, I need that for my chickens. And so that's when I did a few TikToks just to show off, be like, look at it, I built this for my chickens. And then all of a sudden I got this pouring of interest from people to have me build them one and use it for their chickens.
Before you go, I want to ask you three questions. Are you ready?
Let's do it. Should I be scared?
No. This is a one-woman show here, okay? So you'll have to bear with me. Okay. If you could turn back time to your 18-year-old self, what would you tell him?
Not to be stupid. Think before you do. You know, make better choices in life.
That's a good one. That's a good tip for all of us.
I'm telling you, I should have joined the military at 18. I needed that discipline back then.
I think sometimes we dwell on all the things. I know for me, I have a big birthday coming up this year, a big 50.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, I'll be 50 wow. this year. Yeah, it's true. I had my kids very young, so they're all grown. I know we all kind of sit and think, why in the world did I do that? You know, or why was I so stupid? When we get old and we think about, you know, going back or whatever. But I think when you hit a certain age, you're just like, you know what? I did what I did, okay?
Exactly.
Just accept it.
Exactly. Yeah, you live and you learn. That's how it is.
Okay. I also would like to know, who has inspired you the most throughout your life?
That would be my parents. I know that sounds so cliche to say, but my parents have been there through thick and thin. A lot of people don't know this about me because I don't really open myself up to the public. But I have a brother who has a disability. He has cerebral palsy. And so I help my parents take care of him sometimes. I mean, I know it's hard because we live, you know, two different cities, but you know, they have shown me that, you know, hard work, dedication, perseverance, you know, you can legitimately do anything you want in life. And same thing with my brother too. My brother should be included with in that category because he's shown me just because you have a disability doesn't mean that you're not able to do it. It means you're more able to do it. And people are like, well, what do you mean? Well, my brother is in an electric wheelchair. He can't walk at all. And here I am walking around, running and doing all this other stuff. But he's taught me that it doesn't matter that if he can't walk and I can, it's legitimately about doing what you are able to do and not look at the negatives of life. It's everything is a positive, positive, positive.
Oh, my goodness. My daughter, most people who know me personally know that my daughter, my youngest daughter, she was born with a very rare neuromuscular disease, and it is a very progressive disease, but she has a paralyzed diaphragm, paralyzed vocal cords, and she uses a ventilator and a bunch of other stuff. But that story of your brother is exactly how we respond. I respond to her, you know, and people say, well, I'm sorry, or, you know, those things. And I know they're saying that with endearment, but honestly, I have raised her that she can do absolutely anything that she chooses to do. And sometimes people look at it as tough love because I say, yeah, you're going to get out there and you're going to try. You know, you're not going to say because XYZ, you know, I can't do this. So I really appreciate you for that and your brother.
Well, and that's a lot of things is people don't realize that, you know, disability does not mean that they're not able to do it. Because that's what I went to school, actually, yeah, ironically, to be a special ed teacher. And because of
We love special ed teachers.
Oh yes. Yeah. They work their butts off. Let me tell you.
Yes, they do. We've had some pretty good ones, through Savannah schooling, but she's grown. She turned 19 this month. So.
Oh my gosh. Yay. Oh
yeah,
boy.
All my other girls are grown too. So they're mature and married and all that good stuff. So I'm kind of an empty nester. The youngest one still lives at home, but she has, you know, a little part-time job and going to college online and stuff. But so this is my new adventure.
Oh yeah. So you get to have a free house for now. What kind of
stuff? I don't know if it's free. I got pumpkin in my Miss Pumpkin's in my house, and now I got Mama Raven, which is the bantam that just hatched out three chicks. She's in my house in a little mini kiddie pool.
Oh.
I have one more question for you. Are you ready?
I am ready.
If you could put anything on a billboard, what would it be and why?
I would put a chicken with the chicken arms on it and have it say the dinosaurs have returned.
We're back.
We're back. Just because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the ancestry is from the dinosaur age.
Yeah, they're crazy. We're back and we're here to take over.
Yeah, exactly. We are taking, forget Godzilla. Yeah. It's going to be freaking T-Rex, man. Mini T-Rexes. Yeah.
And we are absolutely so excited that you agreed to be on our podcast. It meant so much to us, and you are hilarious. And I also think you're very sweet, and it's very endearing how much you love your chickens.
Well, I appreciate you having me on your podcast. I think it's great to show that it's not just women that can own chickens. It's, you know, it's also men and women. There's so much to it, and I love it. I love to talk about my chickens, even though there are days that they absolutely want me to pull my hair out, which I have no hair anyway, but legitimately, I still want to pull my hair out. You know, they bring you a whole variety of emotions, from love to, oh my God, you did not.
I just want to make sure if there's something that you feel on your heart that you want to share.
Research, research, research is what I tell people. I think everybody should own them. Everyone in America and around the world should have backyard chickens. I just can't stress that enough, that it's the best, I hate to say investment, but in a way it is kind of an investment, but it's the best investment for your mental health, best investment for you as just as a person, to grow as a backyard farmer, as I like to call. I'm not a farmer. I don't want to use that term farmer, but I always say I'm a backyard chicken farmer. Just, you know, us idiots don't always understand what the difference between farming and backyard chicken owning is. So,
yeah, but well, we are so glad that you had this conversation with us. And another funny thing is that Mike's name is the same name as my brother's name and my maiden name. I don't know if we're related somehow, possibly. Who knows?
You know, I wondered that too after our conversation. I'm going, oh my gosh, what if we are related somehow? What if you're like my 10th lost cousin or something, you know?
We may be. My family is originally from Florida and Georgia, so who knows?
And I have family that live in Florida.
What?
Yeah. What if? Oh my gosh.
We may be. I'm going to have to do some more research. So
I think I should too, because now I'm really intrigued.
Yeah, me too. Well, Mike, we are so glad and so thankful. And till next time.
Bye, everybody.
So last week, my good friend Jennifer, she made a video about the nest box liners that she uses in her coop for her girls. This was very intriguing for me. I know this is probably way behind the times, but we've always used pine shavings here, and we know how much of a big mess that can create. So I jumped on this bandwagon, I went on Amazon, and I made a purchase through Mag Joe Naturals. They have an aspen shaving liners for your nest box. They also have the chicken nesting box herbs. So I made the purchase of both of those. This is not a paid promotion. I paid money for this myself. I am so impressed. Butterball usually lays her egg on the ground every single day. Butterball went right straight to these nesting box liners, and they clean up very easily. Any tiny little bits of poop that I found on the liners, I just pulled the liner out and I shook it out and I put it right back in. And they are still as thick as they were when I bought them. They look amazing. So I am definitely a believer of nesting box liners. We are now up to the times and we are fancy out here on the farm. Thanks, Mag Joe. So a big shout out to Mag Joe Naturals. The Heifer Farm approves. I'm Mel, and you are listening to Wilma the Wonder Hen.